Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. One of the toxic byproducts of former President Donald Trump's big lie that the 2020 election was somehow stolen from him has been the proliferation of proposals from Republican politicians across the country that would make it harder for average people to vote. Sadly, this misguided crusade has even made its way to North Carolina, a state in which elections have been repeatedly shown to be clean and fair, and that Trump and other Republicans won in 2020. Recently, for example, the state GOP proposed the establishment of a new and burdensome signature check on all absentee ballot requests. Earlier this week, I got a chance to discuss the proposal with Common Cause North Carolina Executive Director Bob Phillips. And as he told me, it's but the latest in a long line of cynical moves that threaten the health of our democracy. Well, Bob Phillips, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob. Always great to be with you.
Never a dull moment in the world of battling to preserve our democracy and elections and voting, all these issues that continue to remain on the front burner. I guess I want to begin by asking about a new proposal from the North Carolina Republican Party. They're asking the State Board of Elections to begin a new requirement for signature checks. When people request an absentee ballot, they have to sign it and say, I would like to be able to vote by mail. And somehow there's this proposal that we would somehow check those signatures. And I know there's been a lot of concern about that. You have any idea what they're trying to do here? And I know you have some concerns about it.
You know, Rob, I hate to say it, but I think it just falls back into the category of certain folks wanting to make voting harder. And this is just yet another piece of that. We have some of the most stringent requirements in the country regarding absentee voting. We require two witness signatures and or having the absentee ballot notarized. Only three states in America have a two-witness signature requirement, and that's us, Alabama, and Rhode Island. I mean, for God's sakes, South Carolina doesn't even require that. So no offense to our friends, south of us. But all that said, can you imagine, Rob? I mean, I am a North Carolinian, and I registered to vote in 1975. People can do the math. I don't think my signature from 1975, when I was 18 years old, quite matches my signature today. And that's what this would potentially do, have people who are not handwriting experts actually examine signatures from what you've just signed on the absentee ballot envelope with what you registered whenever you registered. It is insane, stupid, and completely unnecessary. So,
yeah, I would think that if we had a bunch of folks from retirement communities in North Carolina who probably are among the people who request absentee ballots the most, we might end up checking every single signature and finding a discrepancy between when they are initially registered. And I know I've dealt with my own mother and in-laws as they've aged, and obviously their signatures have changed dramatically as they become infirm. They still understood exactly what they were doing and wanted to vote. I had a father-in-law who had severe arthritis. His signature was very cramped towards the end of his life. And then to put somebody in charge of it who's not even, how are we going to find thousands of signature experts? I mean, it seems like our boards of elections are already struggling to find staff and volunteers. It does seem like a pretty amazing and maybe even ridiculous request.
Yeah, no details, no thoughts into the details of how this would be administered. It would be dreadfully expensive, incredibly burdensome, and it's just not necessary. That's the biggest piece. We do not have any evidence of widespread fraud. We have nearly a million people take advantage of absentee voting in 2020. No evidence of any fraud. That was the most, by the way, numbers we'd ever had in the history of our state in terms of taking advantage of the absentee ballot voting. And again, not necessary. Those who are crowing about it on the right, a certain think tank that thinks this is a good idea, it's not. And it will be harmful to Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliated voters alike who face these challenges. Like you say, the elderly, the disabled, just people like you and me, even whose signatures have changed and evolved over the decades. I mean, it's just not needed.
It does seem to be, as you've mentioned, part and parcel of a sort of coordinated long-term effort to make voting more complicated. And that in itself seems to be premised on the infamous big lie that the 2020 election was somehow stolen, that there was voter fraud, or that, even though, of course, here in North Carolina, Trump and Republicans did very well, the folks who are making these claims now. And so we've had this latest effort. We've seen a lot of efforts really to intimidate and to interfere with the electoral process. We've had
conservative activists going to local boards of elections, even demanding to inspect voting machines. We've seen a large number of really threats directed at voting officials. We've seen a decline in the number of people who perhaps understandably would want to volunteer to work their local elections. I know there's been some legislation introduced on that front, perhaps may have a tough uphill battle in the legislature, but maybe that would address some of these issues.
Yeah, there is a bill that's been filed out of the Senate, Safeguard Fair Elections Act, and we support it. And it does some of the things you're talking about, tightening up some of the sanctions, if you will, for anyone that tries to intimidate or interfere with the elections process. But it is sad. There is this real belief by so many that think that the last election was fraudulent. I will remind everyone that just 2 weeks ago, the State Board of Elections did certify the May 17th primary, which was the largest voter turnout we've had in North Carolina in an off-presidential primary election in 20 years. We didn't have as many people vote as we would like, but it was still a large voter turnout. Zero problems. They do hand-to-eye ballot recounts. They do audits, if you will. It's the law. No problems, nothing. So certainly, we as an organization and what we do, we want to be vigilant about shining the light. If there are problems, we know no one's infallible. But at the same time, there is no evidence that we have widespread fraud in our elections. And we should support our elections process and the workers who are willing to do that job. You know, that's the intent as much as anything.
We'll be watching it very closely. We're talking with Bob Phillips, who's the executive director of Common Cause of North Carolina, about the battles over the future of democracy here at the state and national levels. We've had some rumors, Bob, that the redistricting battles may rear their ugly head again. We've had these seemingly incessant fights over the gerrymandered districts, gerrymandered congressional districts, gerrymandered legislative districts. Finally got some legislation passed that seemed to make the districts somewhat fairer. But now the rumors abound that the Republicans might try yet again to redraw the legislative districts in North Carolina, or maybe even the congressional districts later this year. What are you hearing on that front?
Well, first and foremost, I want to tell everybody that whatever happens and whatever rumors that are out there, the districts that we have for the November election, both the congressional and the legislative districts, they are the districts. They will not change before the November 2022 election. Our litigation that we were a part of, the court order does require a new congressional map to be drawn by the 2024 election, but the legislative, the state house and state senate maps are to stay the same through the decade. The speaker has hinted, at least I'd seen a story, that maybe they would call a lame duck session, that is after the November election, but before the January seating of the new legislature sometime in December to draw a new congressional map. And, not to play the rumor mill, but there are some folks that are suggesting that it's the speaker's effort to, in this legislature that he is speaker, to have the new map drawn to where he gets that congressional district that supposedly he had wanted. You know, I don't know what the motivation is. It's not necessary. We think that redistricting should be a thoughtful process with public input. Lame duck December sessions don't lend themselves to that. So, it's not something we think is a good idea, and we hope it does not happen.
And of course, I presume it would still be on the agenda for Common Cause that at some point North Carolina would follow the lead of some other states and move in the direction of a nonpartisan redistricting commission as perhaps the best way to draw maps rather than leaving it to the discretion of the politicians themselves who are drawing their own maps.
Absolutely. I mean, you said it. The cliche or the soundbite is politicians should not be choosing their voters. It should be the other way around. Lawmakers shouldn't be drawing their own districts. Democrats did this. We've acknowledged it. I stood with Republicans in the aughts asking for redistricting reform to be passed. Ultimately, it is our lawmakers who must do the deed. We are not a ballot initiative state. But indeed, Rob, an independent citizens commission charged with drawing the maps, that is the way to go. And we will continue to try to educate and encourage everyone, unaffiliated Republicans and Democrats alike, as polling shows, they all want this. We will continue to encourage everyone to push the lawmakers to do the right thing.
We're coming to the end of our time with Bob Phillips, who's the executive director of Common Cause North Carolina. Of course, the fight over democracy and voting and elections isn't an issue that's only happening here in Raleigh. It's also taking place in Washington, Bob. We've got these remarkable hearings that are taking place in Washington right now regarding the January 6th insurrection. And just every day, it seems there's a new bombshell coming out about the degree to which former President Trump and some of his closest allies were involved in what appears to be illegally attempting to steal the 2020 election. I know Common Cause monitors this issue. Are you at least hopeful that by shining a light on this, that perhaps more Americans will come to understand the danger our democracy was in early 2021 and maybe make some improvements so that we don't face a problem like that come 2024?
You know, that is the hope, Rob. I mean, these things are riveting. And you and I think I could say with your age and our age, my age being similar, we came of age during Watergate. And I remember being fascinated by it, troubled. And in a lot of ways, Common Cause was sort of born out of that era where we did get campaign finance disclosure laws passed. My hope is something good will come out of this, that people will become a heck of a lot more aware of how close this threat to our democracy was, a former president trying to disregard the elections and essentially overturn them, and that maybe something better will come away from this. It's a very, very troubling time, but I applaud all the folks that have been working hard on DC to shine that bright light on all this.
And we know one of those organizations is Common Cause in Washington. We're so thankful for their work. We're so thankful for your work here, Bob, to protect our democracy in North Carolina. Please take care, stay safe, keep up the great work, and we'll talk again later this year.
Thank you so much, Rob. You take care as well.
Coming up next, one of our state's top advocates for children shares some of her hopes for the closing weeks of the General Assembly's 2022 short session. Stay with us.